Planes, trains, and Ubers.
Ubermobiles.
So you left here, I took you to the airport. We drive back, that episode left off with me dropping you off at the Columbus airports.
Right.
And you were getting on the plane to head to Orlando, Florida's.
Yeah.
And that week was with, who was the headliner there?
John the Raging Cajun Morgan.
Oh.
Evil motherfucker, you evil motherfucker.
You ever try to fold a fitted bed sheet? He's an amazing guy. So how was that week in Florida's?
Orlando was unbelievably good. What you're doing this week, you'll see. It's a killer club.
It's killer. It's a great.
Is it in
a
mall?
One of my favorite.
Yeah. Yes. But it's not a typical. It would be more like the Dayton Funny Bone is. It's an outdoor.
Oh, okay.
But it's a nice. You know, it's a really nice mall.
Hotels.
Hotels right there. I mean, it's walking distance, but they just pick you up and drive you.
That's a nice.
Probably because it's hundreds of degrees. And rain and shit. But it's right beside Universal Studios. I mean, talking a mile or two.
And, wow.
Yeah, and it's just a great club, dude. The manager, Krista, cool as shit. Cool as shit.
How far is it? Like, I don't even know anything about the geography past Pensacola or Jacksonville. Is there a beach in Orlando?
No, Orlando's more
central.
Yeah, more inland. And
but you got like Disney, Epcot, all that shit's right there. Universal Studios. Yeah, I'm looking forward to going. I was looking at 5Ks to run, but they all start at like 7 in the morning because it gets so blistering hot by 9 a.m. But all of them are like a little bit more challenging than I think I'm used to doing, but I still probably try to get one in.
Who are you there with?
You asked me too fast. A guy, I can't remember his name. Hell, there should be no unanswered questions when you got a high speed internet connection.
Is this the high speed Wi-Fi?
Listen, I got this Wi-Fi. Listen, and I don't know what they locked her up for. But can we finally free wifey? Let's free wifey.
Put her down.
Put her down or something. Jesus, put her out of our misery.
White power.
Free wifey. Yeah, so while you were in Orlando, I was in Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, that's right.
With the Doug Morgan. Oh, my God. And yeah. Can I just say for the record, fuck Doug Morgan.
Yeah, I got that. That came across very clear when you were texting me, thinking you were texting him.
Yeah.
Basically saying, fuck Doug Morgan.
Send U, send C, send K, send Doug Morgan. Send.
Just trying. Oh, hilarious.
But I think when they were coming to you, I was actually just saying, fuck you.
You are a bitch.
You are. Which I'm sure you were like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
This ain't new to me, man.
Man, I was like, what? Damn, I was like, damn, the dude's on a roll.
That was a crazy night. But I will say that the bit that I wrote at like 8 in the morning, I tried a piece of it out the other night, and boy, it has legs.
Yeah?
Yeah. The problem with the whole bit is that the whole bit in and of itself, if you're not headlining, even if you were headlining, it's long. It's more like one-man show kind of stuff. But I think that's what I want to do anyway, is kind of longer form story.
Right.
It's almost like I could probably whittle it down to a machine length story.
15 minutes?
Yeah. Is that all? Man, Chad Zumach is there September 7th, but 8th through the 11th is Benji Brown. And he's got... I feel like I know that guy, but I don't. Heating up the national comedy scene through his candid and comedic performances. He's a witty, vivid, hilarious comedian who is the next household name. I think I need to change my bio. That's exactly what I got.
that's healthy.
Let's listen to a bit of it. Oh, Return of the Mac, son. Benji Brown. Bring it hard. Make a rap. Here we go. V103's Wanda Smith. Oh, this is an hour and 17 minutes long. Okay.
Okay, that's... The hell is it? This is playlist? Is that him or is it...
No, that's somebody else. Let's see if he shows up in it.
What's his promo? Is that just a huge show?
Benji Brown.
Orlando's a very diverse club.
Better you than me, bro.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, like, whenever somebody asks me for a video, I always send something that's, like, less than what I'm currently doing, but still acceptable.
Right.
So that's what I would think this is.
Otherwise, yeah, well, he's obviously funnier. He wouldn't be headline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that depends on who you ask, you know. Never ceases to amaze me. And that's the struggle that I've been dealing with, I think, in the last few months, is like that existent, like, but do other people, do my peers think I'm funny? You know what I mean? Like, am I a hack to other comedians? And the reality of that situation is it's not up to them.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we worry about too much. Well, I don't know. I think it wears off eventually, but you worry about the back of the room so much to where it takes your focus. Who gives a shit? Comics. You know, yeah. Obviously you want their respect, but they're not the one paying your bills.
They're not the one paying the bills, and they're also not the ones, they're not the gatekeepers. So it's like, if it's not entertaining to them, but the audience is laughing. Like, so what we do as comedians is we'll be like, yeah, he's killing, but he's killing with shit material. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's like, well...
He's still killing.
He's still killing, you know? But it's like, for us to feel better about ourselves, we have to, like, diminish the quality of the material that they're doing. So what I've been trying to do lately is recognize where I'm being negative about somebody else's material to make myself feel better. Like, am I saying that because it's something I would have done? And if it is, then I just don't say it, because... There's just so many little jabs that we take, even we don't realize we're taking at other comedians.
Anytime there's a comic on, it don't even matter who it is, but it, maybe even more so when it's our buddies that are on stage, just to sit back and... I'm sorry, I got a tumor. Sit back and talk shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like one of those things where it's like, if it's a rough one, you can really be like, oh, he's having a rough one. But you kind of are like grinning in the back of your... mind, thinking like, better him than me.
Yeah, but I love just when there's a comic on stage and you're just shitting on them, like we all do each other, especially our friends. It's almost that level of when you're in school and you're not supposed to laugh, so it makes you laugh even harder.
Yes. Yeah, I have a joke that I would do. The only time it ever got a laugh was from other comics, and I started telling like the layperson the joke, and they'd be like, I don't get it. And I realized, like, it is one of those things that you already have to be, one, familiar with hack premises, and two, the filth of a comic's mind. So you probably heard the joke where I would come up and I'd say, you know, depending, like I said, I'm in North Dakota or whatever, I'd be like, I just came all the way from Ohio.
I think about it all the time, dude.
And boy, are my balls empty. It's one of my favorite fucking jokes, but I mean, especially when I open with it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's gotta be where it goes.
Yeah.
It's gotta be the first thing I say when I get on stage.
Yeah, because you can't, 10 minutes in, you can't say.
Yeah.
So I drove here from the date, you know, it's.
I mean, maybe I could. Maybe that's just something I've said. I got into it with Dougie last weekend, or 2 weeks ago in Toledo, where he was doing his electric slide bit or whatever.
Right.
And I said, man, that gets a huge response the way you do it. I said, but if you add the music to it, man, I said, it would be like putting that joke on steroids. And he was saying, he can't.
Why?
And he was like, as an MC, I can't be doing music cues.
I mean, I agree with that.
I kind of do, but I also think that there's a way to do it himself, where he set, because if you watch that bit, I watched it every night. I watched him do that bit, and he does it in the same amount of time. There's no, it might be 3 or 4 seconds, but if he forced himself into a situation where he started the song on the mic, gave himself 3 seconds to set himself up in place, and then the music starts playing through the mic, and because of his phone is amplifying a little bit or whatever. And then he's like, but then at a black wedding, you know what I mean? He never picks the mic back up or anything.
Fucking starts getting there. He went Facebook Live and recorded it.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched it. And I think you're the only laugh that I could hear in it. Mm-hmm. And you're really laughing, probably because nobody else is laughing. And it's a hilarious bit.
It always makes me laugh, man, the effort that he puts into it, because it's one of those things. But what I was saying to him is that I didn't understand the song. That I didn't even know what the electric slide really was, I think, until I was in my mid-20s.
Right.
I said, so if that's my reality, that's got to be somebody else's reality, too. Now, maybe most people do know what it is, and even if they don't, they still get that it's a line dance or something like that. I was like, but once you start playing that music, man, that's a silly song or whatever. And there is, like, blacked-up musical versions
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's like...
Just like everything else.
I said, you're not losing anything.
The Wizard of Oz.
I said, you're not losing anything by not doing the music. I just think that if you did do the music, you could fucking amplify it tremendously.
Absolutely.
And he was like, no. And I was just like, okay, I'm not going to argue with you, but I'm telling you, I'm right and you're wrong. But I'm not going to argue with you about it. And he was like, oh. But then he was like, his logic was that he can't do it because he's just the MC of this, that, and the other. But then he was like, kind of backhandedly asking to sell shirts all weekend. And I was like, dude, you can do whatever you want, but it's not my call. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, I don't care. I don't care if you sell shirts. I can't tell you to do it because it's not my job to tell you to do it.
Right.
It's up to the headliner and Nadia, you know, and Rick and everybody. I was like, but if they say, go ahead, I'm not mad. Go ahead. We'll set up together. I don't give a fuck. And, but I was like, clearly you can do a music cue if you're okay to sell shirts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? You can't hold that, I'm just the MC, so I can't do a music cue, if you're just the MC, but you also want to sell t-shirts because you've done it before. I said, this isn't your typical MC club. You work this club once a month. You know what I mean? So you can do certain things like that here. And I'm just saying, why not try?
That's a good point, though.
But that's one of those things, I think we get locked into this reality of where, like I was saying about the joke, where I feel like it has to go first. It doesn't. I could put it anywhere. Probably in the first 5 to 10 minutes of a 30-minute set.
Right.
And still pull it off. But the joke's just not that important. And it's not really in my vein.
And it's not, yeah. It's not adding anything to your...
Yeah.
I just think you do it a few times and always open with it.
Never gets...
Comics are dying.
Yeah. Dying because it gets no response. It's a good turn of cheek, but it's a comics joke. It's a comedian's comic joke. Comedy for comics.
So what do you got after Orlando?
I'm doing this little club called Gregory's in Cocoa Beach with Mike Stanley, who I've never worked with, but I hear
he's from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a killer comic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I might stay in Florida for a couple extra days and try and pick up an audition or two. I have some friends down there that do comedy further south, and I think there's like 3 improvs, or like, you know, Miami,
West Palm, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, there aren't they part of a chain or independent sort of?
They're the independent ones. I don't think they're
in the same group.
They're not with us, in our group, the group that we're currently working with, but...
Well, there's a shitload of... Belushi's, I think it might have closed. That's in, like, Fort Myers. Where's Cocoa Beach? Is that on the West Coast?
East, I believe. East Coast. Like I said, I'm geographically challenged, so as soon as I say East, I'm like holding up my left and right, like, W, West, East, I don't... I am looking forward to going back to Florida, but I really, 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 really hope that next year, when the bookings come through for these chains, that I have a little bit more foresight and patience, which I know I won't.
Take you know what
I
mean?
I'll take whatever I can get as soon as it's offered to me.
I don't know if I would want the back-to-back again, dude.
I don't.
Fuck 2 weeks in Florida, man. Fuck 2 weeks
in Florida. I'll take 2 weeks in Florida, but fuck 2 weeks in Florida in the summer of the United States. You know what I mean? Especially in parts of Florida where it never really gets cold, because I'd much rather do Tampa in February and January than I would in June.
Yeah. Dude, I had an unbelievably great week in Orlando. Take a train from Orlando.
But you only had one bad set.
No, it's not even about the comedy. Just the week in Tampa.
Yeah.
Wore me out. That fucking Ybor City is like...
It's almost like New Orleans.
Yeah.
In that it's a huge melting pot. It's kind of where everything's
dirty.
Happening. Yeah.
Fucking chickens. I was like, Seriously, what is up with the fucking chickens, guys?
If listeners remember, probably 4 episodes ago, The Road Abides, that artwork cover is a chicken crossing the road
in Ybor City.
The Tampa Improv. I mean, like, literally down the street and around the corner, there is a chicken commune.
Is it fucking weird that they don't come, like, north of that?
Well, I mean,
the quarter there.
Chickens are territorial, so I think it's one of those things where they're just kind of like, you know, the rooster's kind of like looking around, making sure there's no other. And it is a rooster. Most of what you see out there is roosters,
yeah.
Which is weird that there's more than one.
There's a fucking shitload.
Yeah.
My question to the audience was like, I go, just
roosters fight, don't they?
Yeah, that's what they used. Yeah.
I mean, like, just naturally, not like, I mean, this one didn't have no spurs on, but he might not have been riding the horse that day.
Right. Well, I used to rooster fight. Against a rooster.
So you dislocated your retina and then you had to stop fighting?
Yeah, I used to cock fight. Mine against theirs.
It was never much of a fight, but I had the odds every time.
My question to the audience was, I go, seriously, what the fuck is going on with the chickens? Which would just get big. And I go, does anybody think that it's not weird that there's just thousands of chickens running around? And one guy, during only for one show, one guy goes, yeah, it's kind of our thing. I go, see, the only thing weirder than all those fucking chickens walking around is anybody thinking that it's not weird.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest fucking thing. And I go, and my last point is, why does a fucking chicken sandwich cost $12 in this fucking town when there's fucking 300,000? But, did you see the police helicopter just hovering around the condo? So I get in the Uber yesterday morning. We go past like a McDonald's to get on the highway, and there must be 25 or 30 police cruisers. One car, doors open. I mean, major shit going on.
I walked to that McDonald's and I was like, oh, this is the part of town they say not to walk.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
And if it hadn't been like early in the morning, and even then when I was at that McDonald's, it was packed and it was like homeless people outside. I don't know if they were homeless, but there was dirty people outside. And
was it my buddy Robert Junebug?
I don't even know. In fact, I think I tried to give him some money and somebody told me, no, you can't give these guys money. And I was like, what? But at the same time, it was also
like, give it to the chickens, not these worthless assholes.
These chickens is working. But yeah, that whole area, like, people were like, you don't want to walk back to the condo at night. But I did do that.
Yeah, I did too.
Because it wasn't that bad that direction, especially if you walk by the hotel. But here's my thing. They should put both comics in that hotel.
Yeah.
But I guess that condo's been there for fucking ever.
I don't mind a condo.
I don't either.
I like a condo, really.
I don't prefer a condo, but I like that one because the pool, I laid out by the pool and it was nice. The pool is nice. The people that hang out by the pool are pretty cool. And it's a big enough pool that you don't feel like you're sitting on top of strangers and
nice.
Stuff.
It's a decent
palm
condo.
Trees everywhere. It's got a hot, nice little hot tub grotto.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I never got in any of the water. I don't care. I'm not doing pool water or hot tubs, probably ever again.
I ain't even doing baths.
I don't even. Yeah, man. I'm just. I get a bottle of water, throw it on the face. I don't even care if it's tap water.
Maybe a super soaker.
When we go to Yellow Springs today, or when I drop you off in Dayton, I'm going to go to Yellow Springs and run on the bike path, and then I have soccer practice this evening.
So you go.
I'm going to be there.
Coaching for, again?
Yeah. Yeah, coaching again, but
when
just.
When did that start? That must have been recent.
Yeah, yeah. They asked me like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, well, I can really only do practices because I'll be out of town for most of the games. But really, a lot of the stuff that I have coming up for the back half of this quarter is all one-nighters. So there's a lot of times that I am only out of town on Saturday.
Wait, you said you're going to Jacksonville tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. And then
there's two clubs in Jacksonville. You got the Comedy Zone, which is, well, I think it was like one of the first Comedy Zones. It's a killer club. And then you got Jacksonville Comedy. I think it's called like Comedy Club of Jacksonville or Jacksonville Comedy Club, something like that.
Hmm.
Which it used to be like a PG club or whatever, and they just changed that in the last year, but you should.
I'll look into that. Who books the non-Comedy Zone one? In fact, I need to send an email to Comedy Zone, too. Because
I'd have to ask Jamie Utley. I know Jamie Utley performed there. I did the Comedy Zone when I was there, which is Lynn.
Yeah, I got him. Leonard.
I like that one.
Yeah, the thing about Comedy Zone is some of them are, I hear they're, you know, it's just one of those clubs you're supposed to be working for, or one of those franchises you're supposed to be working for.
There's so many of them in the South.
They're
the same.
I know some of them are hit or miss, but that's true for every club, for every comic, on any given night. You know what I mean? It's not your job to judge.
There's a shitload of them in, like, North Carolina.
Which is where I love performing, man. I think that's probably one of my best states. Although I did have a great time when I was in New York. Both Syracuse and Albany were some of the best shows I've ever had in my life. But I mean, really, this whole summer I have no complaints. The only place that I played that I was like, I don't need. To be honest, Tampa was probably my least favorite. But I think it was more that I was trying a new order to my set, and I knew. And what's funny is, at the time, I was like, these jokes go in a certain order, and I know that because I've been doing them long enough to know that this is the best way to deliver them, to do the mixed stuff or the biracial stuff, you know, the back half. It's just better to do it there. But then people are like, well, you got to open with your closer. You got to open with your closer if you want to ever get stronger. But, you know, it's like, and that's like, well, yeah, Louis does that, but I'm not Louis. You know what I mean?
Nobody is Louis.
Nobody else is. And it's not, and I'm not trying to turn over an hour every year. So, but the headliner suggested that I do it, so I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. You know, if he thinks I should, if he thinks that that's what's going to get me going, then...
Does Ferrara?
Yeah, so I moved it to the front, but I wasn't confident in it. And, or at least I wasn't conveying confidence. But this was before Cleveland. So it was kind of like an evolutionary scale in that I realized it doesn't matter. If I deliver it half-heartedly or without confidence or without being the one that's in complete control, it doesn't get the response it should. But I went and did it, and the show, here's the other thing about it, was the show was already like five comics deep. So I was able to go up right before the headliner.
This is in
Columbus. And I did that. I went up and I opened with my closer, and I did sandwiched in the middle my new stuff, and then closed with Knock Knock. Which,
you're getting a lot out of Columbus, ain't you?
Yeah, like, man.
Which, I mean, you're here now, so it's...
Yeah, and it's one of, I've never done a full week there, but I've probably done at least 14 shows there, so it's, like, worth it. There's no way I've done 14, probably more like 8, but still more than what I would have gotten in one weekend, and the year's not over.
And it's, you're there pretty often, pretty regularly. I think every 2 or 3 weeks you're doing at least a set, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember when he was booking us, and so you didn't get a Columbus week, you instead were just going to be like a utility?
Yeah. He was like, I can give you a full week, or you can just come in as needed. He's like, you'll get more spots as a utility. And I was like, yeah. But then he also offered the same thing in Dayton and Liberty. And I said yes to both of those, which was a mistake. But
utility or
utility? But I actually, well, what it was in Dayton at the time that we got booked, I already had 2 weeks booked. I might have had 3 weeks booked in Dayton for some reason. So it was like, and all of them fell out.
Every week?
Every single week fell out. And so I haven't done a single week in Dayton, but now I have a week and a day in Dayton, emceeing for Maranzio Vance in November, and, which is like one of my only dates in November. And then I have a feature Sunday in November as well. So.
Nice.
I'm not complaining, you know, and I also picked up another MC week, a split week, feature Thursday, Sunday, MC Friday, Saturday for John Witherspoon in Liberty. So those are my local pickups in the last week.
Dude, I think when I was in Orlando, I picked up like a Friday, Saturday in Milwaukee, and then a Sunday and somewhere in Michigan, Huron or something like that. Then what else did I get? Oh, then Donnie Baker hits me. Like, hey, you want to do this week, whatever, at Comedy Off Broad in Lexington, which is a fucking impossible club to get into. And then I had to cancel that Ohio State Michigan debate, which you filled in.
Yeah, you're filling I just picked floor. That up. Yeah,
that's a fun one, dude. You'll love that shit. I mean, it's a
Yeah, oh, fuck.
What?
What's the date on that?
17th, I think.
Fuck, man. I think that's the same weekend I'm supposed to be doing Dayton. But it's during the daytime.
Yeah. It's like noon or something.
Yeah, that's close enough. That's
Dayton. It's a killer thing, dude. So there's like tons of news stations.
Yeah.
There's probably 500-600 people, maybe more. I mean, packed, ready to laugh, drinking it up.
He sent me some clips of former ones, so I'm gonna watch that. I think I got a pretty good idea of what's going on, but
it's so fucking fun, dude.
I can't wait. I'm hoping I can get a good get some cast material out of it.
Oh, that you definitely will.
The
God, it's so much fun. I hate it. And here's what my worry is.
Did you drop that for Donnie Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like $1,000 a week, and fucking oh, yeah. That was it. Yeah, so
do you guys just do two-man shows?
Sometimes. I know he said that they're going to provide the host, but a lot of times we just do two-man. But even if it's not, if they do a host, like when we were at Wiley's a few weeks ago, the first show was a two-man, then Joe Robinette was there, and I was like, hey. Hufflepuff. It's just much better. But then I intro him, and then Joe comes in, or whoever.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Because I, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, but then I picked up a Sunday with him in like Preble County at the fairground.
Nice.
Which was just bizarre. Which I picked up a couple gigs out of that too. It was, yeah, dude. I love doing shows with that dude, man. It's great.
I loved him too, man. He's just a nice guy to be around outside of the show. He's humble, human. It's one of those guys, another one of those guys where you don't necessarily have to agree with their politics or what they believe in, but like if you're a nice person, you can get along with anybody. Yeah. It's like being a dick that makes your political views hard to deal with.
He's funny, dude. I mean, he's killer funny.
Mm-hmm.
Humble mm-hmm. as can be.
As they come.
And draws really good.
Man, does he draw. The loudest, like most raucous MC set of my life was opening for him.
Where was that at?
Greenville, Ohio?
Yeah. Jack Presence?
Yeah.
And then the next time you bring me up, because you introduced me to Jack, me, you, and Nee Miller and Luke Capasso, right? Mm-hmm. Wait, was that? Yeah, because we went over to that Corinna.
Yeah, Courage for Corinna. Yeah, and I still have that bracelet in my car. Keep it around my gear shifter now.
The best was Ryan Niemiller. Like, she gives us the bracelets or whatever, and he's a sweetheart of a guy, right? So he's put the bracelet on, and we get out to the car, and he goes, dude, she knows I don't have wrists, right?
That was, to me, like, because we go to meet this girl who's dying of a blood cancer disease. Like, her body's constantly trying to kill her.
Like, she can't even digest her own saliva.
Yeah, it was poison. Everything about her was poison.
16 years old, right?
Yep. Knew she was going to die for, like, the last. And so we were trying to raise money. And I was like, are we, like, raising money for a cure? They're like, no, we're raising money so she can just, like, ball out until she's dead. You know what I mean? Like, just so she doesn't have to worry about the next couple weeks. What? And I ran into somebody in Yellow Springs later that summer. And she was like, oh, Adrian, I saw you at the comedy show in Greenville. And I was thinking Donnie Baker or whatever. Right. I was like, oh, hey. And she was like, you know, Corinna died a couple days ago. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And I realized, yeah.
Did you come and find me just to tell me this?
Yeah, that was kind of strange.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking, dude. It
was hard to meet somebody that young that was facing their mortality but wasn't, like, hung up on it.
It was crazy.
Because, like, if I was at that age and people were, like, coming in to meet me, like, hey, we're the comedians for the show. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm going to die. Because I'm going to die. Like, any set. I could die right now. Or right now.
What a sweet family they were, though.
Man.
And what do you think? It was less than a year, right, after we did the show that she passed away, mm-hmm. you think?
Mm-hmm. It was within months. It was within months, I think. And, but... You know, she did the Make-A-Wish, all that stuff. You know, like, she went through, I guess, what...
Yeah. What was kids. It? She went to, like, L.A. or something. Was
I think she went to London or some shit. Or New York something or something was, like that. Like,
I think it was New York. And something about fashion, makeup.
Fashion, makeup and yeah. hair and stuff like that.
But she got to be on, like, a movie set or something, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... God bless those people for what they do. Because, you know, I think about, like, the times that I got to do stuff... But I'm like, man, nobody gets to do stuff like this. The thing for me that I would have, like, if I was, which was simple, but when I was in high school, the last thing I did before I graduated was this girl I was dating named Jackie from Bellbrook. She was a year older than me, or she was graduating a year before me. So she actually had come back from college, and she knew the goalie from the Dayton Dynamo, who was a professional indoor soccer team at the time, who was, like, my hero. And she actually knew him personally because she'd gone to his camps and stuff. And I just didn't. This was before the internet, so I didn't know anything about it or whatever. But she called me one day out of the blue and she was like, hey, he's holding a camp this summer and he needs a couple people to help him. You know, so you get to basically attend the camp and be a demo, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm like freaking out. Like, are you? Of course, you know, but yeah. I was already like on the back end of my career. I already knew basically I wasn't going to be playing in college, even though I had a full ride scholarship. And, but I went and did it, and it was literally, like, the highlight of my career, like, Make-A-Wish level, like, just to meet and hang out with this guy all day, because I went and watched him play professionally for, you know, since I was in eighth grade, almost every home match, and when I got to meet him, he remembered me from having, like, stuff signed and stuff like that. He's like, oh, yeah, I know you. You from Yellow Springs? And I was just like, but I think about that in terms of, like, you know, it's not rare that you get to, I mean, it's not that often that you get to meet a hero or somebody that you look up to like that. And I think sometimes as comedians, we take that for granted because think about how many people that you would be like, I never thought I'd ever get to meet this person or meet a celebrity at all. And it's like, you meet them every weekend, damn near. Right. Whether everybody else knows they're a celebrity or not, Donnie Baker, man, he could get mobbed after his show. He could get mobbed after his own show. You know, if he was stayed in character all day, you know, if he looked like that all day long, he'd have a hard time living his life because people would recognize him, which is crazy for a radio personality.
I was supposed to call him today. He's doing Jackson in March.
Oh my God! You have to write new material for that shit. Pack. I'll make it easy on you, Jay. I'll split the money with you. Just give me the date. Just slide it on over.
I might have you come down and host it. You're like, no, that's not what that's off.
That's not what I was talking about, but I'll do it. I'll be your driver. Shit.
He's supposed to give me the date today. He had to wait for his baseball or whatever, but he's gonna be. But that's not even a Bob and Tom market. But and I
really
because he had so many people from Jackson come up to Wiley's a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, how do you guys know if they're like his YouTube and Facebook? His YouTube is huge, man.
You serpent! He's fucking hilarious.
Serpent. Axl Rose certified dick.
Circus 1986. Every time I watch one of those videos, I think I know what he's going to say or what it's going to sound like, and it's always fucking makes me giggle in the first few seconds.
He's hilarious. We got to figure out how to get that audio from the Brits, the British hecklers.
Oh, you got it on your phone?
I do, but it's just a 25-minute set.
Okay. Well, we'll try to do that after the cast. I'll try and do this drop soon thing. I was looking it up online, and it doesn't look like it's easy to get files off your iPhone for anything. It's almost like once you record something on your iPhone, Apple's like, that belongs to us now.
Yeah. That's our...
I mean, we can have it together, but like we're the Debo in this relationship when it comes to like who really owns it, you know? Weird.
We're the what?
Debo. It's a Friday reference. It's a black movie. I wouldn't expect you to understand.
I seen it.
You got knocked the fuck out. So, what do you got going on this week, Chase Snyder?
This week we got headlining Dayton, Funny Bone Thursday, Sunday. I'm going to try to get some good footage recorded, get a DVD put together.
Uh-huh.
If we can get a good audience, if we can get good crowds, it'd be amazing. But then I'm doing Chillicothe at Steiner Speakeasy on Monday. And then fly out to Boston Tuesday.
Boston!
Gonna go meet Lefty. And then I do Albany, Hartford, and then hang out for another week in Boston.
Nice. You're gonna be out in the cut. You're gonna definitely have to figure out a way to send me the files while you're out of town. In fact, I think what you probably need to do is download a second voice recorder, an app that'll allow you to share the files easier. You know what
That's
I mean?
A good idea.
And then...
I should be able to do that pretty easy, right?
Yeah. There's probably one that we... Either that or we have a cloud that we share the account of so that you can just upload it directly. Like, once you get done recording something, just be like, you could just be like, start listening at 14 minutes in or whatever, and then I can download it from the cloud. Virtual hard drive that we both can store stuff to, or... you know, like our pornos and stuff like
that. Yeah, no, I definitely want to share porn with you.
That man.
What Tampa? They got like hard copy porn.
DVD
I'm like,
porn.
DVD, I'm like, what is going?
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I saw that and I was like, is there no wireless here? What's going on?
That was my first concern too. And then there's also like a old, you know, like those stereos you'd buy at like Kmart. It's like a home entertainment stereo, but it fits on your countertop.
In the 90s, it would have been the shit.
It has two tape decks.
got a bass record. Boost button.
Exactly. It's got a mic. You could plug a mic into it.
No CD deck.
I was thinking about, I was at Costco the other day, and they had this, it kind of looked like a karaoke speaker or a monitor speaker. Like something you'd have facing back to the performer or whatever. Right. But it was like a radio DVD player. I think you could do karaoke with it or whatever, but you'd have to have the karaoke songs already burnt. And it came with a microphone. It was like $150 and I was like, this is about right. But then I thought, like, what's the smallest mic and amplifier setup I could come up with where I wasn't really sacrificing? Because, you know, sometimes you'll go to a place, a one-nighter, you know, in a bar show or something like that, where they have sound, but it's shit. And it's not right. Really their fault. They're like, we just don't normally do comedy. It's like usually the musicians bring their own shit. Like, you'll be performing over the kitchen speaker.
Yeah. or the ceiling, like you're at a fucking supermarket.
Exactly. So I'm wondering, like, would it be like a boombox, like the Radio Raheem, like, you know, like what you put on your shoulder from like, I can't live without my radio, and then you plug into the mic with like a Shure?
Right.
Or a wireless system of some sort where you're able to set the speaker further away. Like, have you seen Sabo setup? It's the same that they have the side stage at the Columbus Funny Bone, the tower.
Yeah.
It's got the highs up here and the sub down here, yeah. And it's got a corded mic. That sounds fantastic no matter what room you put it in.
So are you talking about that like big Bose
yeah.
figure saber? Yeah, that thing.
It's pretty
incredible. Yeah.
But it's, for how small it is, it sounds great, but it's not exactly what I would consider small. I'm thinking smaller.
Yeah, because it's like 5 feet long, right?
Yeah, but it breaks down into like, you could put it in a big duffel bag, but you couldn't put it in like the Prius trunk without it taking up a considerable amount of space. Now, we've traveled with it. You know, whenever I go on the road with them, we usually take it with us because you never know what kind of sound system you're going to get in some of these places. But I want something that's like if you could have a speaker that size or yeah, maybe four times that big.
Yeah, those Bose speakers, like...
they do amazing things with those little things.
Yeah, if you could get one there, which that's probably, what, 8x4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them speakers nowadays, like, that would... blow, shatter the glass.
Yeah. Earthquake. Yeah, so I feel like I need to be traveling with my own system because there's just so many of these places. The other thing, do you mess with gig salad at all?
No, never have.
I've had a couple that come through, even though I used to pay for it, and nothing ever came through. And as soon as I canceled my subscription, things started coming through. And then I started wondering, like, are they... like in their office, like, oh, yeah, another one canceled. Yeah, let's try and get it back. Because nothing that's ever come through, no matter how many back and forths, has ever come to fruition.
That sucks.
And I know other people that are like, oh, yeah, as soon as you get one, you just got to get them to email you privately. And I'm like, I'm okay with doing it through them. I just want to see one go through before I start investing any like time or effort into it. But what I've been thinking is that might be a good place to debut Snyder Cosby Comedy.
Snyco?
Snyco. Snyco.com. Snyco.com.
That rolls off the tongue.
It just rolls right off the tongue. We'll do funerals, weddings, divorces.
That's just our own personal life.
That's just our own personal life, and then we'll start venturing out. No, but I think it might be because every time I've ever tried to book one, they want something... I have what they want. They don't know that that's what they're looking for. So that's why I feel like it doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
Like the last one that came through was an 86th high school reunion. No, 69th high school reunion or something like that. And I was just like, I'm not your guy.
No hombre.
Yeah. I was like, if you... I hope you sent out a lot of fucking offers because I am not that guy.
Yeah, you need like a...
And I skew old. You know, I do well for older audiences, but damn.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I used to own you. $3,800,
I'll take a gig. Yeah, $3,800, yeah. But I still ain't going to look forward to it.
You can't make me like it. I ain't going to get no laughs. Yeah, but that's the thing. So I feel like pitching a two-man show, having it be like a comedy hour. Like we come, we do the show, we're great for it. Christmas parties, birthdays, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And I think like, there's room for a show where we alternate. You know, we each do 30 minutes or whatever, and then maybe we do something together at the end.
Yeah. We could do that. I'd love to do that. You know, CJ's always talked about, or Chris Allen, I don't know if I call him both, but...
I call him Chris CJ Allen.
My best good friend, Chris CJ Allen. Bartholomew.
Bartholomew the third, Leftwich.
He
Gonzaga.
He's, for years, he's mentioned, like, all of us to go... Mm-hmm. Bring our connections together and just make a killer run. Me, you, Doug, John, Chris. Which would be unbelievably fun.
Yeah, I mean...
everybody like rotating each night.
What are John and Doug going to do? Drive?
Yeah, we need drivers. We need John for because he's sober.
Yeah.
And Doug...
because he's funny when he's not on a mic. Who? Just entertainment. Our muse.
Yeah, yeah. Doug.
The Buckham.
What Doug's there for. I think he's just in case.
Let me tell you something about Doug Morgan. Doug's not going anywhere till that baby's 18. Doug is on full house arrest. It appears to me.
He's crushing it in on the family front.
Yeah, which is good for him. I mean,
they're adorable.
For somebody who was saying, like, 2 years ago, he was just saying, he's like, yeah, man, I don't want to be in a relationship. I'm not a relationship guy. And I was like, that sounds like somebody who just hasn't found the right one. Not, like, the truth. And then you find the right one, and look, he's damn near adopted two kids, had his own.
You know what makes it the right one? When somebody lets you come inside them, that's a special bond.
That is
a special bond. You know that. I've shared that with many a people.
I've shared that with many a fella comic. Some of them even that I still talk to. called back. He was like, after every show in Toledo, he was right back to the... And it like, I could understand if he was staying across the street because it's a nice hotel, but he was going straight back to the
dock. Economical.
He even lets his wife stay there with the baby. And I was just like, I said, Doug, I said, when you do the Toledo Funny Bone, man, the goal is to break even. Not to come home with $150 because you got lice. You know how much a rib kit costs these days? You got about three of them. They're resistant to it.
And a rape whistle.
Hell, you gotta buy your own locks at that door. They're like, it's $30 a night. You want lock?
They just sound like Russian mobsters.
When I checked in there, she was like, yes. I was like, yeah, I need a room. She was like, are you sure? I was like, no. Not anymore?
Give me a second. Go out and sit out in the car like, what the fuck?
Yeah. The fucking bed... The comforter had a matching cigarette stain on the sink. And when I say, like, it was the size of a 100, it was actually more like the size of a 120.
Like to where somebody sat there and burnt the
like, let me just set this here. I just lit this. Let me set it down. Let's see if any of this stuff catches on fire. And my thing is like, I get the sink. You know, replacing a sink top is a little bit harder, even though it is just particle board. But the comforter, you could just put that spot at the bottom. You don't have to put it by the pillow. Yeah. It's like it's pointing right at you like, this is where you smoke. This is where I smoke. You should smoke
this. We won't even charge you extra for smoking in
here.
Listen,
you can just
have it. You actually get a discount on the room.
Yeah. Like, no smoking in the room unless we smoke with you.
What's that hotel ran by? I've never stayed up.
I believe they're Pakistani or Middle Eastern of some sort. It might be Indian. I don't know.
It's the same thing, right?
No. There's like Middle Eastern and India is like its own thing. The thing about India that most people don't understand is that like being an innkeeper for Indian culture is a very esteemed thing. The problem is that an inn in India is much different than an inn in the United States. So like a lot of these Indian people will come and buy a damn near condemned hotel and be like, we're innkeepers, you know, and it's
not
like
not even put new bulbs in.
They'll even use the pictures from on their Travelocity or their website from when the place was new. And I've made that mistake one time. I've well documented. I'll never make that mistake again. In fact, I paid for it. Didn't even try to get my money back. I just left an honest review of the place. This like, I've never left a bad review before. No, this was, like I said, the worst places I've ever stayed in my life, I've booked myself in comedy. Except for one, but I didn't have to stay there. A room was offered. I accepted, looked at it, and I was like, I'm leaving tonight. Because it looked like Abu Ghraib. I mean, there was literally an Iraqi prisoner hanging in the shower with a bag over his head. It was the
like, don't touch him.
It was like let's make a toilet and put a hose in a masonry area for a prison that may or may never get built. And when it doesn't fully get built, just you have this toilet in this masonry area with this hose draped over a wall. Now let's put a shed up next to it with no floor.
Yep, dead chickens. We need some dead chickens.
Yeah, dead chickens, bugs. You know, it was almost like two halves of a building that somebody was like, let's just fucking mush them together. I tried to take pictures of it, but I didn't want to be in the room any longer than I had. Great killer show. But that was actually the first time I've ever gotten a call from the agency. Like, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah, no. I was like, you're really lucky. I'm a cool dude. Because most of the guys
Why did they call? Just to check, see?
I think because the headliner had said something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
so they were calling to see if you felt the same way about the gig or the...
I don't know what he said. He seemed totally cool to me. He seemed like a Sabo type, you know, like he'd been on the road too long for this to be a factor or whatever. But he might have been asking for like extra money to go get another hotel or something like that. And I was like, look, I got another room on points 30 minutes away. If it was closer, I would have just driven home or whatever. I was like, but you should know to like, if you get to keep doing shows here, never accept these rooms. Like, have this be a gig that you guys do with no...
It's okay. It's the worst, dude, because a lot of times you're in these fucking...
It was in the middle of nowhere. The closest hotel, I had to drive 25 minutes to my hotel, but it was a Hampton Inn.
Oh, which is just like going from the Gaza Strip to the actual Hamptons.
But yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. From the DMZ to fucking Hilton. It could have been... It could have been the best show ever, and I still would have slept in my car at a rest stop. I wouldn't even slept in the parking lot of that bar. And the bar was plenty fine.
I don't know what the worst... I don't know. When I first started, I took this gig in Parkersburg, West Virginia, where I saw you'll be at soon, but it's a different place. It's called... It was a restaurant, but the guy that owned it also owned a few strip clubs in town. The parking lot is so small... So he picks you up in a limo. Mm. So he calls, he's like, hey, I go, what time's the show? I'll be over there about an hour early. He goes, well, it would be a lot better if you, I'll send my limo to come pick you up. And I go, well, I'm not a limo kind of guy. I would rather just drive. He goes, well, it would really help us out if you just let us pick you up in the limo because of parking or
whatever. Oh, okay.
And, I was like, what about the headliner? He goes, yeah, we're picking him up at the same time. I was like, all right, then I'll just ride with that guy. Then I get there and it's, the hotel is like, it's not even like a Red Roof or a Motel 6. It's just like the independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Main Street Inn.
The Main Street Inn, and it looks like that. And I know, like, so we left the club. Well, I still wasn't even drinking at this time. So we left the club in the limo on the way back. There's a porn in the like a VHS porn playing. But it's just like...
Welcome.
Yeah, so there's like...
In the limo or in the...
In the limo, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And so, besides me, the headliner, the club owner, like what I'm assuming is like a hooker or one of the strippers, and they're all going... to the strip club. I'm definitely not going to strip club. I'm not drinking. I don't have the cash. Still trying to be married at that time. Yeah. And it was just pretty weird just being in a limo full of dudes, basically, and somebody puts a porn in, like...
So let's now, get game time, boys.
Yeah, so then I'm just like, what the...
I'll do you if you do me.
Hands free, though. But it was weird to me that, like... So now, like, all these... older guys are just like tuned into this, so now I can't even talk, so now I just gotta sit there and watch it because I can't fucking, you know, I'm like, what the
fuck? You got nice, Peter.
That ain't a bad card, is it?
Wish I had me one, man. How was the show, though?
The show was unbelievably good, and there was a night I remember it specifically. So I had been trying to get into Toledo Funny Bone for years. I finally get in the night before this gig. I get into Toledo. There's a guy heckling me, and he fucking... I'm scared, and fucking... The guy chews me up and fucking spits me out. Like, easily. Mm-hmm. And Vince is headlining it. And Vince, like, goes up and... knows how to fucking handle a heckler gets the guy madder than a motherfucker, and then they end up, Rick ends up fucking tackling the guy through the door. Like, this guy's fucking pissed the fuck off. So Rick has him like in between the restaurant and the club in that little area between the doors, and the guy tries to come back in the showroom, and fucking Rick drops a fucking shoulder in his fucking chest and fucking just takes off running with this motherfucker. And he's a pretty big dude, too, but...
Yeah.
So he takes off then. But right before Rick tackles him, he comes over and he gets his wife. And, come on, we gotta leave. And he's being really fucking loud. Come on, we gotta leave because we're white. And Vince goes, no, man, you gotta leave because you're toothless. But Vince just destroys the guy. So we gotta go. So now I drive to Toledo. You know when you first start and you bomb real hard. So now like I got 3 hour ride of just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm never gonna be back at that club and fucking all that shit. So then I go to Parkersburg the next night, and I'm still beating myself up all the way down there. Yeah. I get there and this fucking lady starts heckling me and all this shit that I didn't say the night before. I was like, oh no, oh no, bitch. And fucking I go off, and that's the first time I ever dealt with a heckler. Yeah. And it was fucking awesome. The without trying to sound too arrogant, the headliner had a difficult time following, and that was the last time that I worked for that specific booker. The headliner was, he's like one of her main headliners or whatever. They started in comedy together, all that stuff, and then so I don't know if he said something to her or what, but yeah, I can't get shit back. And the owner's come up and he's like, look, I've heard it time and time again, you should be the one up there headlining. And I go, hey, thank you, that's a nice compliment. I go, but I'm not a fucking headliner. I go, I took this exact same material last night in Toledo and they run me out of the fucking state. Yeah. With it, you know. But yeah, so the show was fucking killer. But
what is it about comedy that has people, like, do they do that after a play? They go, if you get to meet the actors after a play, you are my favorite character. I mean, I guess they would, maybe. But it's like, we don't need that. Nothing about that. It's not like, I mean, maybe some people do. But it's like, when people say, I like the show, enjoyed the show, I'm like, thumbs up, right. Cool, yeah, that's all I need right there.
And when you get the, you should have been the headliner, or we liked you the best, or whatever.
That just makes things uncomfortable.
It makes it so fucking uncomfortable, because it's usually beside the headliner at the merch table, something. Yeah. Like that. But also, people think, I don't know what it is about comedy, but fans or audience members or whatever, like, they don't hold back. I don't know. I mean, people will say some of the most uncomfortable, rude shit. Like, it would be so rude to say some of the shit.
We forget sometimes, I think, that we're sharing intimate details of our lives with them, and they forget that they're not sharing back. So, like, we get off stage or whatever, and it's like, I've been waiting to tell you this thing because we've been having this conversation where I didn't get to say anything.
Right. And I guess they think they know you.
Yeah, they think they know you for real. And to a degree, they do. They know you better than you know them. But that's why I try not to ever, like, put an audience in contempt or to be like, audiences are stupid, or because they're all organic. They're all completely different. They have one thing in common with the last audience, and that is that they came to a comedy club and they're sitting. But after that, shit, dude, the expectation level, as a collective, I might air a piece from a couple different pieces of crowd work that I did, not from hecklers, but just like addressing the audience and the energy that was going on in the room, both in Toledo. One was where a lady was talking. I was doing pretty well, but this lady was just talking like she was outside, you know, and finally I stopped as the security was talking to her or whatever. And then another one was where the audience was just like, they were into it, but they just weren't laughing. You know, they were like, you know, like, just like, I was like, you guys have a very specific amount that you're willing to give each joke. It's like you came in and you're like, listen, we've got 5 minutes of laughter, yeah, that we can spend in this place tonight, you know. Don't waste too much on each joke.
No more than 8 seconds per joke. And don't laugh at every one of them. We don't have that kind of time.
Exactly. So at that point, I was just started going around the room just sort of like roasting people until I felt like they loosened up a little bit and then went right back into material. And that was something that I realized, like, I've never done that before. I've never consciously gone off script to try to get them.
I got
to
do it, yeah.
And then bring them back into my thing again.
That's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to follow roast or crowd work with bits.
Here's the thing that I learned in that, is that A week earlier, I was doing crowd work unnecessarily and then couldn't follow myself.
Right.
Because it was already a hot crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then the material didn't match the electricity of the crowd work after that. And so it's like, it really is a weapon that you kind of have to pull out when you need it. It's almost like if the audience is already hot, you know what I mean? And you bring out a gun, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's hard to get them back. But if the audience is cold and you bring out a gun and everyone gets excited, then it's kind of like, all right, they'll stay to that current level. But you can't peak them too early. Otherwise, they'll sit there and be like, I just need a cigarette.
It's horrifying when you can't follow your
own material. Oh, your own material? Oh, God.
You're like, well, I can't go back to the crowd for 30 fucking minutes. That's what I need to do, but I know that that is not going to work out well for me.
You guys want to see my Peter? All right, let's end it there. Jay, great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming back over to Chalet Hospital. And let's get another one in next week. It's been 2 weeks since the last one. I think we're just going to go ahead and start transitioning the whole podcast into story time with Jay Snodders.
I'll be coming through on maybe Tuesday, I think.
Of next week?
Yeah.
I'll be out of town next week. So whatever we do, we're going to figure out at the end of this episode how we can remote emote is what we'll call that. We can emote to each other remotely. Jay, how do you feel?
Snyco.
Snycocom.com. Tell your friends about it. It's coming in 2 weeks.
Yep. Coming to a trailer park near you.
Yes, sir.
Funny Bone, Thursday, Sunday.
Thursday, Sunday, Dayton Funny Bone, Jay Snodder with Doug Morgan.
That's Thursday and Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Bring your children.
Right, real quick before we go, that's September 8th and 11th. And Brock Shank put, I'm headlining the Funny Bone September 11th. Brock Shank goes, haven't enough people ruined their lives on September 11th? Hilarious. Stop by Sunday. Like
and brown wind, she whispered.